Okay, Chaver, so welcome back. We're going to learn Siman Sadi Aleph. Now, I made a cheshbon that we don't have that much yeshiva left, basically, after Shavuos. I don't know if there is anything real to talk about in terms of this month. So we have to really put on our running shoes and try to push through Basar B'Cholav. These are actually the richest parts of Basar B'Cholav. But we'll learn it well, even if we're moving at a slightly more rapid clip than we have been moving until now. So Siman Sadi Aleph begins with the halacha that's based on the Gemara Kuf Zayin, that when Basar and Gevina touch one another, it's mutter. The only thing is that you need hadacha, that you need to rinse off the area where they touched, and you're even allowed to wrap them up in the same cloth, and we're not worried that they're going to touch. So this is based on the Gemara on Daf Kuf Zayin, like we mentioned, that the Gemara says hadacha milo bayi. The Gemara says even when they touch, yeah, of course it's mutter, but you still have to do some sort of hadacha, you have to do some sort of rinsing off. For some reason the Bach understands that, and this Bach is called by the Shach and Sif Katan Aleph, that the only time when there's a requirement of hadacha is when one of them is lach. Well, if they're shneihem yaveshim, you don't require any hadacha. If they're both dry, the Basar and Gevina are both completely dry, so then there's no need to rinse it off at all. That's the position of the Bach. Where the Bach gets this from is that the Gemara asks, v'chi nagi mai heva, right? The Gemara's question is, so what if they touch? Now, for some reason, the Bach decides, and this is a point that I haven't seen anyone address, for some reason, the Bach feels that the lashon of the Gemara and the Havamina, that if they touch, what could possibly be the problem, means that l'maisa, l'halacha, it's going to be heter gomor if they touch. So what's the situation that's heter gomor if they touch? Zak the Bach, obviously, that case is from if they're both yevashim. It is a little bit strange that the Bach is proving something from the Havamin the Gemara, but Azai is thus. Now Rebbe Kiva Eger over here notes that if they are both yevashim, but they are maluchim, but they are salted, then you still need hadacha. And he proves that from Lahalon Sif Hey. If you look in the free Megadon, the pre-Megadon basically says he doesn't know of any Sevara why a Davar Yavesh Maluach should require Hadacha. If we're assuming that Davar Yavesh straight up doesn't require any Hadacha, so why would a Davar Yavesh Maluach require Hadacha? That's the taina that the pre-Megadon has in the Sif Seidas Os Aleph. Now, L'maisa, the concern of the Davar Maluach could be said in one of two ways. The Chavistas over here writes that he thinks the issue with a Davar Maluach is that a Davar Maluach becomes like a Davar Charef. And a Davar Charef has the capability of absorbing Isser just by touching. That's like a super duper Kiddush of the Chavistas, no? One, that I take the salt, I become Maluach. Two, that I take the salt, I become a davar charef. Two, a davar charef that is in contact with food of the other gender is going to absorb even without duchka de sakino or the like. The halach of davar charef usually is that you need some duchka de sakino, but this chavistas is saying a rasa dasa chiddush, which if I am understanding correctly, is not accepted lahalacha. This nekuda of the chavistas is not accepted lahalacha. The other mahalach, though, that how come a davar yavesh that's maluach is going to require hadacha, the other mahalach is found in the Sefer Yehuda. And this is the approach that Reb Feivel Cohen prefers in the Badei HaShulchan Sif Katan Gimel, which is that the melach has the ability to make the substance begin to fall apart. If I have meat and there's some salt on the meat, so what's going to happen is that meat is going to start dropping off some meat particles. And the cheese that has some salt on it is going to stop dropping off some cheese particles. And the mela, something will happen, which is that meat particles end up with cheese, cheese particles end up on the meat. That's the Mahalach that the Yad Yehuda says. Now, effectively, what he's basically saying, I think, is like a mitzius. Whether this mitzius is correct or not, I leave to you guys. But I think what the Yad Yehuda is presenting us with is a mitzius that al yedei the melach going to be noach lehisparech lehistabek ktsas mimenu al chaveiro. That's what he says. Mr. Dansker. Yeah, so, I don't remember the rayas that he brings, but certainly he brings rayas. If you look in the Badei HaShoch on page Kuf Hei, in the Biurim, that's where he quotes this whole Yad Yehuda, etc. Okay. Now, let's go back into the Shulchan Aruch. When we say that if I have two dvarim, basar and gavina, and they're lachim, so you require hadacha, and therefore you're not allowed to have them touch because you might forget to do hadacha. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch in Sif Beis. No? But, if it's something that hadacha is always done to it, for example, raw meat. So the Rashba in the Torah Habayis, the last Torah Habayis of Shara Dalet, right? It's on page Chaf Aleph. The Torah Habayis of Chaf Aleph on base. The last Torah Habayis of Bayis Dalet Shara Aleph, right? The Rashba quotes in the Baal HaItur that something that is urche b'hadacha, if you always rinse it off like raw meat, it's going to be mutter to have it touch some food of the other gender l'chatchila. And not only is it mutter for the basar to touch the gavina l'chatchila, it's going to be mutter for the basar to touch a treif keli l'chatchila. No? Because if you always rinse it off, it's not a problem ki huzeh. Ad kan divrei Baal HaItur. If you look though in the Rashba, when he quotes this Baal HaItur, on the side of the Rashba we know the Ra'ah is printed. And the Ra'ah in the Bedek HaBayis writes about this Baal HaItur, Ukvod HaRav Yehi Munach Bimkomo. Usually that's like a way that you're starting off with somebody. Yeah, keep your covet. Right, your covet should stay exactly where it is. Shezeh eino nachon. You're wrong. Sheme olam lo hutar b'shum makom lismoch davar hamutar im davar aser al das lahachshiro shema lo yadichenu yafe yafe. Zak the ra'ah that the Baal HaItur is wrong, because you're never allowed to have kosher food touch trey food, relying on the fact that I'll do hadacha later on, because mehecha teisa, you'll do a good hadacha. Maybe the hadacha that you'll do will be a bad hadacha. And therefore, you're not allowed to do it. Ad kan divrei hara'ah. Now, the Rashba never lets the ra'ah get away with anything. So the Rashba writes, oh, Ra'ah, you say that the covet of the Baal HaItur should stay in its place? Amar HaKosef, Kama Yahir Haimei Rabbanon, Shetofis HaGedola Yisrael. You're such a Baal Gaiva. You're starting up with the Baal HaItur. The Baal HaItur is the Gedola. The Baal HaItur, by the way, is the first Rishon that we know in Provence, no? Whatever. The Baal HaItur is the first Rishon that we know in Provence. Right? Zakda. Rashba, the Mishmer Sabais, you're such a Baal Gaiva. You're starting with Gedola Yisrael. And not only does the Baal HaItur hold this way, the Ravid also holds this way. And you can't start up with these people. Because, Afilo Mikra Mole, Dibir HaKosov, Ushachachai. Right? He says, Ra'ah, you're timing that it's not permitted to have kosher meat touch treif meat, behis tameh, lying on the fact that you'll rinse it off. Zuck the Rashba, but you forgot a pasuk. The Torah tells me in Parsha Shmini, Vayosimu es hacholovim al hechazais. Alma mishra shari leikra. Zuck the Rashba. There's a beferish pasuk that it's mutter. Vayosimu es hacholovim al hechazos. They take the chalev, they put it on the chest cavity of the animal. No, chalev is treif, the chest cavity has kosher meat. How are they allowed to put one on top of the other? You're not allowed to have treif touch kosher. Elamai, it's cold, and you're going to rinse it off. Right? That's the Rashba's Raya. A pasuk. Comes along the Bir Hagra. Comes along the Goyin. Right? The Goyin in Os Beis. You see it? In the Likot. He writes, "B'mishmeres habayis hevi raya lazeh mimashenemar vayosimo hecholovim al hechazos." Right? He quotes, right, in those spaces of the Gra, he quotes from the Rashba's raya from the pasuk, "Zuck the Gra ve'eno raya dimin haTorah vaday mutter va'od kohanim zrizen hein v'hara achol legsham." Right. In other words, what is the Goyin saying? Lain is saying, first of all, you have a raya from pasuk. There's no raya. Avada min ha-tayra tzmutar. This whole din that a kosher food and a treif food shouldn't touch is a din to rabbanon. So of course, in the Torah, vayasim ha-cholavim al-achazos is permitted, says the Goyin. Moreover, va'od kohanim zrizin hein. Right? Maybe a regular person, I'm choshesh, he might forget to rinse it off. But a Kohen, Kohanim is reason hein, there's no concern they're going to forget to rinse it off. Ad kan divrei hagra. Now, when you unpackage this, right, it's a little bit funny. There's a pasuk. The Rashba says the pasuk's a raya. The Goyin Lachor is saying, very good. What's the raya from the pasuk? It's a din derabbanan. Din derabbanan happened after the Torah. But if you unpackage it, maybe there's another issue at hand, which is what's called the Taz HaYodua. The Taz in Yerideya Simen Kuf Yud Zayin, and in Choshen Mishpat Simen Beis, and in Orachayim Simen Tav Kuf Pei Hei. The Taz is tremendous chiddush, which is that rabbinic authority is limited. In other words, the Chachamim have the koach to make dinim derabbanan, but they can't make a din de rabbanon going against something that's mefurish lahatir in the pasuk. If the Torah says beferish that it's mutter, so the chachamim have no koach to institute a din de rabbanon against the beferish pasuk. Zuck the Taz. This is the pshat in Sanhedrin Memvav. Shamati shebezdin makin va'onshin shalom in hadin. Vilo lavar, you're smiling, right? You did this in Second Seder? Vilo lavar al divrei Torah, right? So Bezdin can be makin va'inshin, but not la'avar al divrei Torah. So the Taz jumps up and down, spits wood and nickels. What do you mean, not lavar al divrei Torah? Of course he can't be over on divrei Torah. Right? Even rabbis are bound by the Torah. That's true. What do you mean, lo lavar al divrei Torah? Zuck the Taz, no, I'll tell you what it means. Lo lavar al divrei Torah means that if there's a beferish, a pasuk that says that something is mutter, so then the Chachamim have no ability to say something is asr. Right? The Taz says, for example, the Torah writes, "Beyom Hashmini Yimo Besar Olaso." This Taz is like even the Chiddush beyond what we said until now. The Torah writes, "Beyom Hashmini Yimo Besar Olaso." Chazal Darshan, "Beyom Afilo B'Shabbes." Therefore, Zuck the Taz, you can't make a Gezerah Deraba not do Mila on Shabbos because maybe you'll carry the Izemel to a Chacham to teach you how to do Mila properly. You make a Gezerah Deraba that you don't take a Lulav on Shabbos. I make a Gezerah Deraba that you don't blow Shofar on Shabbos, no? Because maybe I'll go to the Chacham to learn how to do it. But by Mila, there's no such Gezerah. Why not? Zuck the Taz, I'll tell you why not. Because it's a Beferish and Pasuk, no? Because the Torah says, "Biyom Hashmini, Biyom Afilo B'Shabbes." Now, Yesh Ladon, by the way, because the Lashon HaGemara and all those places that everyone is chayiv in Tekiya Shofar, everyone is chayiv in Netilas Lulav. No, all men, I should say, are chayiv in Tekiya Shofar and Netilas Lulav. So, therefore, there's a concern that I might go to Abaki to learn. By Mila, it could be that not everyone is chayiv. Right, the mitzvah is only on the father. No. So one could be machalik based on that, but that's not what the Taz says. But Bekitzer, you get the impression from this comment of the Vilna Gaon that the Gaon is arguing on the Taz. Because Lecha Ora, if I'm a Taz Jew, so then the Raya from the Pasuk is a Gevaldika Raya. The Torah says, Vayasimu hachalavim al hachazos. So you can't possibly have a din derabbanan going against the Pasuk that's beferish in the Torah. Right? That's what the Taz would say. And that's what the Rashba holds. But the Ra'ah is disagreeing, and the Gra is saying, like the Ra'ah, the Gra over here, no, maybe you can have something against Pshuto Shel Mikra. Maybe the Chachamim can, right? Maybe the Chachamim have the ability to make a din derabbanan even against a Beferish Pasuk. There's a Sefer from Reb David Cohen called the Sefer Taz HaYadua. You know Reb David Cohen from Brooklyn. So I went to the library today during Seder to try to take it. The book is on prisoner offer. I don't want to waste my time to wait for it. But I'm pretty sure he deals with this gra. And but this gra l'cha'ora is against the Taz. That's the basic ha'ora that we're making. So far, so good? If the Taz is correct, so then the Rashba is correct, then you have a Raya from a Pasuk even though the Din's a Din Rabbanan. No one is saying that there's a Din Dai Raisa the Kashmir and the Treifmi can't touch. It's not a Din Dai Raisa. Aye, so how can you bring a Raya from a Pasuk if the whole Din's Rabbanan? I'll tell you how, because the rabbis don't have the ability to asser something, right, neged a Beferish a Pasuk. So far so good? Let's go weiter. So I want to say the machlokas between the Rashba and the Ra'ah is a machlokas between the Taz and the rest of Judaism about whether the Chachamim can make a din derabbanan against the Pasuk. There's the Ra'ah taka holds its asr. The Pasuk says it's mutter. The Gra says, oh, I know the pshat in the Ra'ah. It's a din derabbanan. Right? Obviously the Rashba says, no, you can't make such a din derabbanan. That I think is musko rishon about what the machlokas Rashba and Ra'ah is. Reb Vival Cohen in the Badei HaShulchan, page Kuf Vav. He first deals with the question in Sifkat and Dalet about what does Hadocha mean? In this entire simen, we have halachas of Hadocha, no? That the Kashmi and the Treifmi shouldn't touch. If they touch, you have to do hadocha. Well, what does hadocha mean? So hadocha can mean one of two things. It could mean that you rinse it off, you put water on it, or hadocha could mean that you do shifshuf, that you actually rub it, no? Mashal ma hadocha dome. The Ravid, Sof Avodah Zarah. We made a siman of Avodah Zarah, never Pesach Mashal. So the Rav at the very end of the Masechta, the Gemara speaks about how if I buy kelim from a goy, I have to do hechsher on the kli and tevil on the kli, right? That's basic Judaism. Now, what's the hechsher, let's say, on the keli shedarko leshdamish bo betzonein, a keli that you only use for cold? How are you machsher such a keli? So the Gemara says, hadocha. Zuck the Ravid, quoted in the Ran over there. You know what hadocha mean? Hadocha can't mean that you just run water on it. Because oibazoi, there's no requirement for both hadocha and tevila. The mikvah also, right, would count as rinsing it off. Elamai says, the Ravid, that hadocha has to mean that you scrub it. Shifshuf. That's what the Ravid says over there, so of Avodah Zarah. Reb Feivel is questioning over here. When we say that you need hadacha, is the pshat that you need hadacha in the sense of just rinsing it off? Or maybe you need hadacha in the sense that you scrub it? So Reb Feivel, he points out that it's a machlokes achronim. The Chavistas on the Aruch HaShulchan says that all you have to do is rinse it. You don't need shifshuf, you don't need to rub. But then he points out the Yad Yehuda says you need shifshuf, and he likes the Yad Yehuda. He thinks the Yad Yehuda is correct, that Hadacha means Shifshuf, which is actually the way Hadacha is used there, Sof of the Zara. But then Reb Fayev Otainas, that maybe this is part of the Machlekes between the Rashba and the Ra'ah. You see, the Ra'ah is saying that I'm not, even if I have raw meat, which I ordinarily rinse off, I still can't put that raw meat in a treif keli, right, or next to some other food, because maybe I won't do a good job rinsing it off. No? That's what the Ra'ah time is. Right? The Ra'ah says it's usur, even darko, even davar shadarko b'hadocha, you can't leave next to, you can't leave next to some treif. Correct? Even though you're going to rinse it off, you can't leave it next to treif. Ad kan divrei ha-Ra'ah. Why not? I might not do a good job rinsing it off. What do you mean do a good job rinsing it off? Rinsing it off doesn't require such bekiyas. Now, it's not like tekiya shofar, that you have to know what you're doing. What do you mean? Well, why is it hard to rinse it off? So apparently, what the Ra'ah means, says Reb Fayev, is that hadacha is not just a hadacha. Hadacha means hadacha mitashifshif, that you have to rinse it off and scrub it. And there's a concern that you might not rinse it off properly, because maybe I won't do shifshif. Im kainim hadavarim misaf devayim, we could suggest that maybe that's the machlokes between the Rashba and the Ra'ah. Because the Rashba says, oh, I'm allowed to put tray kosher meat, right? Kosher raw meat. I'm allowed to put in the tray of clay. Why am I allowed to put kosher raw meat in the tray of clay? Because, oh, you're going to definitely rinse it off. What do you mean? The Ra'ah says maybe you won't do a good job. Teretz says the Rashba's not worried I won't do a good job, because for the Rashba, rinsing means just plain rinsing. And therefore there's no concern that you won't do a good job. This is what Reb Fayev Cohen has on page Kuf Vav. No? What are you telling the jury?
So then the Rashba itself, you don't continue to talk about some things that require shifshuf. So you have to say that in there are...
So then the Rashba might be talking about stuff that requires shifshuf gadol, as opposed to a little bit of shifshuf. Maybe all hadacha, this is what Reb Fayev says, maybe all hadacha is shifshuf, and certain stuff require, like, you know, there's a difference between the way you scrub your oven to make it clean all the time, the way you scrub your oven to make it clean in order to kasher it for Pesach. Right? There is scrubbing with intensity, and then there is ordinary scrubbing. Maybe. Now, the Rashba, though, the way Reb Fayev is suggesting, the Rashba holds Ahdocha Ba'al Masagi, that would then go against the psak that Reb Fayev has, that you always need Shifshuf. Because he passes against this Chavis Das. He passes a Hadacha always means that you scrub it. Aye, we pass it like the Rash, but we don't pass it like the Ra'ah. Right, it says in Shulchan Aruch Sif Beis that midi to urche b'hadacha, like raw meat, it's mutter. So we don't hold like the Ra'ah. So doesn't that imply that you don't need Shifshuf? So he wants to say, and this is the part where I stand a little bit in disbelief, that maybe raw meat is darko not only behadocha, but it's darko behadocha with shifshuf. This I don't understand. I think the idea is that, like, you'll never take a piece of raw meat. You take it out of the package. You're going to rinse it off before you do anything with it, no? But how would I rinse off my raw meat? I don't scrub it. Now what? They mean not the type of raw meat that we have that comes in the package. They mean raw meat that comes from a schlachteis. So raw meat is like you have a chicken with the legs hanging there. So then maybe that is urche b'hadocha b'shifshif. I don't know. But the point is what Reb Fayev is saying, I think requires a lot of thought. Okay, let's go on. Good? What about if I didn't do hadacha? Is the food going to be kosher, or is the food going to be treif? Remember, it says in Shulchan Aruch that anything that requires hadacha, I'm not allowed to do it l'chatchila. But what about if I did it? Is the food going to be treif without doing hadacha? So the Taz in Os Aleph seems to be closer to the Taz in Os Beis. No? The Taz in Os Aleph writes that since Shulchan Aruch later on says that even klipa is not ma'akev b'di'eved, the Raman Sif Gimel writes that when you require klipa, if you don't do klipa, it's going to be mutter b'di'eved. So obviously, if you don't do hadacha, it's going to be mutter b'di'eved. No? Because hadacha is worse than klipa. That's what the Taz Tainas. The Prima Gadim over here says, well, I'm not sure about that, the Prima Gadim. Because maybe Hadacha is Ma'akev B'diyeved, according to those that say that Klipa is Ma'akev B'diyeved. You see, the Ramah in Sif Dalet, when he says that Klipa is not Ma'akev B'diyeved, the Shach over there, and everyone and their uncle, jumps up and down and spits wooden nickels, and they disagree with the Ramah. They say, no, Klipa is Ma'akev B'diyeved. It's Ma'akev on the Tais. So Prima Gun says, maybe it is Ma'akev B'diyeved. The Yag Yehuda says that it could be that even if Klipa is not Ma'akev B'diyeved, Hadacha is Ma'akev B'diyeved. Okay, again, what we have basically are three positions. The Taz seems to be saying that Hadacha is less of a concern than Klipa. The Prima Gadim says Hadacha and Klipa is exactly the same level of concern. And the Yag Yehuda, the third sheet that the Badei HaShulchan quotes, is in Sifkat and Vav, I believe, and the Be'urim over there. The Yag Yehuda is the third Sheetah who says that Hadacha is worse than Klipa. Now, Hadacha being worse than Klipa might mean something along the lines of the following. When two food items touch, perhaps the concern is that perhaps the pshat is that when the two food items touch, it's not that there's like a suffix. Maybe some of one got on the other. You know, talk about two moist items, two devar lachem, like the shach said. But maybe the concern is not that perhaps some food got on the other type. But maybe the idea is that vadai, some food got on the other type. You see, klipa remains a suffix, ladina. Right? We have a discussion in Pesachim about ilah agavar, tata agavar, chamatol tzonein. So it could be that lahalacha, maybe there's no bliya at all. Perhaps. Right? So there is a question whether there's any din of klipa. But hadachas of the Yad Yehuda is worse than klipa. Because when the two food items touch, you know for sure that one got on the other. Now, if you know for sure that one got on the other, so there's a teeny bit of iser here. So that's why hadacha maybe is more of a requirement than klipa. There's an Aruch HaShulchan here, the beginning of the Siddin, where the Aruch HaShulchan says the same type of thing. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that in his opinion, when the items touch, it's kimat vadai, that some food, right, went got on the other. This is actually going to be important in Sif Gimel, no? In Sif Gimel, we have the din that says in the Mechaber, be very careful that basar should not touch bread. Because if basar touches bread, then you won't be able to eat that bread with gevina, no? So the Shach discusses, okay, well, if the basar touches the bread, maybe I could still do hadacha. Right, rinse the bread off. So there's a whole complicated mitzias discussion over here in the Pischei Tshuva and in the Prima Gadim. I don't know about you. My kids try to rinse off bread all the time. And you know what happens when you rinse off bread? You get bread mush. Correct? So rinsing off bread might not work. So that discussion comes up. But the Shach basically raises the question, maybe Hadacha will help. And then the Prima Gadim basically raises a question that isn't in this case like a Svek Sveka. Because what's my concern? Maybe basar got on the lechem, and maybe I'm going to eat the lechem with gevina. Shouldn't that be a spek sveka? That's the Prima Gadim's issue. So the answer that the Pischei Tshuva gives is it's not a spek sveka, because we learn later on that lechem is the type of food that you always eat with all types. You use bread with meat and bread with cheese. You always eat it with all types. Therefore, it's like the Prima Zakta Pischei Tshuva is not a Svek Sveka. Of course, this Aruch HaShulchan is not a Svek Sveka for the other reason. It's not a Svek Sveka because when bread touches something else, for sure, some of it got on it. That's why it's not a Svek Sveika.
Okay.
The Kitzer, that's the discussion of that Aruch HaShulchan, and this Yad Yehuda seems to be saying like the Aruch HaShulchan. The Yad Yehuda is saying that Hadacha is more chamor. Hadacha is more chamor than, what's it called? Hadacha is more chamor than Klipa even. Ad kan divrei Hayad Yehuda. Now, when I said that there's a little bit of a steer in the Taz, what I mean is as follows. The Taz in Sivchat and Aleph says that Hadacha is better than Klipa. And if the Ramah says in Sifdala that Klipa is not going to be a problem with the Yevet, certainly Hadacha is not a problem with the Yevet, right? So if I didn't do Hadacha, it's all going to be kosher. That's what the Taz in Sivchat and Aleph says. So how come in Sivchat and Beis, the Taz has a whole taina on those people who travel and eat herring? Or they travel and they eat ugurkas. You know what ugurkas are? Anyone know? Anyone speak Yiddish? What are ugurkas? Ugurkas are pickles. People travel and they eat herring and pickles and a treif keli. Ah! Right? The marshal basically is marishal lomos. How can they be eating herring and pickles? No? That's the Taz and Sifkan base. I don't understand. The maisa. Right, according to the Taz L'shitasai, it should have Hadacha, but b'di'evet, if you didn't do Hadacha, it's going to be kasher, no? So why is the Maharshal so upset? So it could be that that's exactly what the Taz means in the last line in Sifkat and Beis. When the Taz quotes that the Torah's Chatas Tainas, the Shas Hadachak is going to be okay, it's going to be like b'di'evet, the Taz is saying, and l'shitasi, b'di'evet is going to be mutter. No? That's probably the correct way to learn the Taz, but many get very worried about this supposed stira between the Taz Sifkat and Aleph and the Taz Sifkat and Beis. Drury, what do you have to say?
No, it's the idea of by Dacha, like when it's Aleph, where let's say we mashed, they had a potato that, whatever, we had something we need to touch them, and then you mashed it up, so that's the idea that we can no longer go to Dacha. But here you...
Here it's right intact.
Yeah.
So that's the Yad Ephraim's taina. The Yad Ephraim raises the question that maybe b'di'eved by the klipa, I understand, because the case is that you cook it into the food and it all gets nivlal. But if it's intact, maybe it's worse. And the Hanami. You get the impression, though, that it's not exactly right, like that. That what we're saying, that's mutter b'di'eved means that l'chatzchili should try to rinse it off. B'di'eved, it's still going to be batal, because I don't know exactly where the tarifus is on this, no? It's not going to be bitul in the sense of nivlal, it's bitul in the sense of lack of identity. Right?
Is that what it's saying? Aser? He says, lo
yafa osim. So, lo yafa osim means that they're bad people.
Sounds like he's not proving, but is he?
Lo yafa osim sounds like they're bad people. They're doing it wrong. Maybe. I don't know. Yesh lo don.
Also, it says at the end that it's not shy.
It's not what? Yeah. That you can't rinse off the salt water, yeah. And that's mamish going to be usser. But according to the Taz, it should never be mamish usser because anything without hadacha should be mutter b'di'evet. So that part, right, that part sounds like more of a kash on the Taz of Gut Nalaf. That's your hara?
No.
Okay, fine. Now, let's say I'm traveling and I go to a restaurant. I'm traveling on the road and I stop off in Howard Johnson's. And Howard Johnson's, they serve Baskin Robbins ice cream. That's the minute, no? And you know which flavors of Baskin Robbins are kosher, so you order a kosher flavor of Baskin Robbins and they give it to you in a bowl with a spoon. And the bowl with a spoon is a treif bowl with a treif spoon, and they give you the ice cream. Is it mutter to eat the ice cream? Kosher ice cream, is it mutter to eat it? Ba'akroi, Bakroy, right, in Baskin-Robbins, in Robert Johnson's, right, is it mutter to eat the ice cream with a treif bowl and a treif spoon? So, in order to underpackage this halacha, you have to learn a Ramah with a shach and a taz, and then you're still confused when all is said and done. So, let's try to go through it very briefly. Now, the Ramah basically writes that you need tartu v'tibusa. The Ramah writes that it's only going to be mutter if I have dover yavish mamish with a keli that was only boleya b'tzonin. If it's a keli that was ever boleya b'chamin, even though it is a dover yavish mamish, it's aser. No? That's what the Rambam says. The pashtus in the Rambam is, in order to be mutter, it has to be completely dry food. So I don't think ice cream counts as completely dry food. Even if my ice cream bowl is a bowl that's only b'leia b'tzon. And again, I don't know whether the mitzvah is that they use soup bowls and ice cream bowls as the same or not, but naniach that it is, it's a keli that's only b'leia b'tzonin, still, right, it's only mutter with a dover yavish, so it's going to be aser. What about using the spoon? What about using the spoon? So the spoon could be that the ice cream spoon, that metal spoon, is a spoon that was b'leia b'chamin, and anything that was b'leia b'chamin is going to be aser to use. Ad kan devei Ramah. Right? Now, the Ramah, over here is not so simple. It's not so simple. We do pass in Hilchos Pesach that a keli of chametz I'm allowed to be mishtamish bo b'matzo. On the other hand, we have dinim that we're only allowed to use it if it's something that's darko lahadiyach, something you're going to rinse off. But if I'm not going to rinse off, it's going to be aser. And the shach and the taz are both bothered by this kasha. And the taz goes in the direction where the taz says that he thinks we have to change the girsa in the Ramah. For the taz, the correct pshat in the Ramah is that if it's a davar yavesh, or if it's only b'leia b'tzonin, it's going to be mutter. Right? The Taz adds the word o. Meaning, according to the Taz, if the keli was b'leia b'tzonin, and there's a din in Siman Samach test to this effect about doing malicha on the treif keli, or using the keli that you use for malicha for something else. So the Taz says, if the keli was only by layab and sainin, you're allowed to use such a keli. So if I have an ice cream dish, I'm allowed to use it, no? And I'm allowed to use it even belach. If something was b'leia b'chamin, then I'm allowed to use it, right? Again, if it was b'leia b'tzonin, I'm allowed to use it even with a davar lach. If it was boleya b'chamin, I can only use it for a davar yavish. But that's basically what the Taz says, correct? Either or. Now, the Taz points out that we're talking about that the keli is clean. If the keli would be dirty, for sure you're not allowed to use it. I think that's muskim. But then the Taz adds a chiddush, which is that a keli that I was mishtamish bo b'tzonin. Right? If I have a keli that you know was only used for ice cream, you're allowed to use it with a davar yavish, even if the davar yavish is cham. Right? That's what the Taz says. You notice that? This is a tremendous chiddush. Keli shadak or shdamish babitzainen might mean that the keli is treif. Let's say the guy has a wine barrel. Right? Wine is treif. It's kavush kavavushal. It's been there for 24 hours. The Taz holds, I'm allowed to be mishdamish by b'chamin. No? I could put a hot piece of matzah, I could put a hot piece of kugel on a treif plate. Hot kugel, treif plate. How am I allowed to do that? L'cha'ora, right? It's a davar gush. It's going to be like, kind of like a clean mishon. It's going to take the treif that's inside the keli and bring it out. The Taz still says it's mutter. This, I think, is a very big chiddush in the Taz. And my dear beloved friend, not that one, but the King Yendaya, right? The King Yendaya says that he doesn't understand this Taz, really. What on earth is the Taz saying? How am I allowed to use a davar yavish cham if the keli was balei abitzonin? Right? The Taz is saying that you're even allowed to use hot food in a treif kli. And by the way, misdimas hadavarim, even though it's ben yomo. No? What the heck? How's that going to be permitted? I don't know. That's what it says in the Taz. Now the Shach argues on the Rambam entirely. See, the Taz is trying to be Mekayim the Rambam, but the Taz changes the Rambam and adds the word O. He changes the Girsa. The Shach over here says, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to disagree with the Rambam. And the Shach says, if the keli is a clean keli, you're allowed to use it. And clean means either you did hadacha, or even if you just do kinuach, even if I just take a rag and wipe the keli off, I'm allowed to use that keli. The Taz time is, though, that you should know that there's a difference between if the Jew wiped down the keli, if the guy wiped down the keli. If the guy wiped down the keli after he wiped, maybe he didn't do a good job. But the Jew wiped down the keli in order to make sure it's clean, you're allowed to use a treif keli that was wiped down. But the Shach has a few caveats. You can use a treif keli if it is. You can use a treif keli, zuk the Shach, if it's cold. You can't use it if it's hot. The Shach says I can use a treif keli if I am doing it be'akroi. That's the very end of the Shach. I can't do this permanently. And the Shach says it can't be a kli cheres. No? Apparently, for the Shach, by kli cheres, there's going to be blia of meruva. And because there's a lot of blia, there's a lot of plato. And therefore, kli cheres is going to be aser. I think b'chavistas and some of the acharonim disagree about that one nekud and the Shach about kli cheres. But hayotze for the Shach, can I go to Howard Johnson's and use a treif spoon? Absolutely. The spoon is hetter gomer to use, no? Because it's ba'akroi, it's cold, ice cream is cold usually, right? And it's, what is it? It's ba'akroi and it's cold, right? That's it. This, for the Shach, it doesn't matter whether it's yavesh or lach, right? These details don't really matter for the Shach. If it's clean, it's mutter. And some of the Achrayim say that even though the Shach tainos, that the Jew has to be the one to clean it, not the goy, but that was in their times where clean keli was harder to come by. Like their keli used to be like rusty metal, and the clean keli was harder to come by. Today, we have detergent. You look at it. If it's clean, mutter. Ad kan divrei Hashach.
What's called a kri? In other words, if you have, let's say, Baskin Robbins in your community, so to go to that same Baskin Robbins on a consistent basis, but one time...
Each time is a different spoon.
Yeah. Or is it all the cry?
I'm not sure. I mean, certainly the case, that's how I get the case I'm traveling and I stop off in Howard Johnson's.
Right.
Right? I don't know. I'm not sure. Now, many of the Achronim, by the way, Paskin like this Shach, Lahalacha. The Ramah is a super machmir, right? The Ramah says I can only be make of its tarta tivusa. It has to be a davar yavesh, and it has to be a keli shadakol shdamish bo betzonin. For the Shach, anytime the keli is cold, it's mutter. For the Taz, if it's either yavesh or tzonin, it's going to be mutter. Yeah.
Is there a reason for Hakel that it's only a suffix whether it was ever used for
Isser? Okay. Right, enough on me. Let's assume you know it was used for Isser. Right?
This is also true for, let's say, going to a bar or hotel and drinking the drinks and cold drinks.
Right. In other words, to drink a drink, again, so usually people, they're mitzvah over there those days that maybe glass is not belay at all. Okay, for a Sephardi it's much easier. Right? Okay, but And Achanami, it's another snifra hakel. If it's a clean glass, it's mutter to use bakrai, according to the shach. And we follow the shach. And it doesn't, even though it's a davar lach, right? The Coca-Cola is lach. It's not yavish. But right, it still is going to be mutter. I think so. That's what the shach says. Now, what's the pshat in the Rambam? L'cha'era, the shach is 100% correct. You have a treif kli, but now it's clean. So what on earth could be wrong? How come the Rambam says that you can't use a davar lach in a treif kli? So the Rav in his Shi'urim, it's Simon Samach in the Shi'urei HaRav, the Rav has the following mahalach. And by the way, Tosfos in Avodah Zarah Lamed Beis quotes Rabbeinu Tam that you shouldn't use a keli of treif with a davar lach. Right? That seems to be what the Rambam is based on, but we don't understand where it's coming from because l'chor, there's no b'liya, right? There's no plata, no issue is going to come out. So apparently, what the Rambam holds is that there is a teeny bit of plata that comes out with a cold liquid. Davar yavesh, no plata comes out. But davar lach, a little bit of plate is going to come out. That little bit of plate that's going to come out will automatically be bottled in the liquid that I have. But by using the kli, it's ke'en mevatlan nisra l'chatchila. The chavastas over here uses the lashonos of mevatlan nisra l'chatchila. Now, it's not really mevatlan nisra l'chatchila in the classical sense. Obviously, this is more aligned with keli shedakol shdamish bo b'shefa, which is the Rashba, the end of Tzadites. It's a keli that you is never going to have enough. But maybe the issue over here is based on the din of ein mevatlan nisra l'chatchila. Maybe that's the pshat in the Rambam. That's what the Rav has in his Shi'urim. I was thinking, though, of saying a different pshat. We spoke years ago. Like, what's the difference, though, between lach and yavesh? Right? You can tell me that a little bit of isser comes out. Maybe, like, once I'm in, like, this world that I don't understand, a little bit of isser comes out. So maybe it comes out either yavesh or I put a piece of matzah. I put an apple in the keli. Maybe a little bit of isser is going to come out. Mehichatesi, no? So I was thinking that maybe the pshat is something along the lines. We spoke once, we said over a piece from Rabbi Ganek. It's in the Sefer Gan Shoshanim on page Lamed Dalet. Rabbi Ganek quotes from the Or Sameach, and he says that he heard this from the Rav, that maybe there's a din, that there's an Isser l'hishtamish in the Keli Shal Isser. Hishtamshus b'kli Shal Isser is going to be Osir. Rav Shechter understands, for example, that how come a keli she'eno ben yomo? The Gemara says, I'm not allowed to use a keli she'eno ben yomo. I'm gazrin on keli she'eno ben yomo ato a keli ben yomo. But I'm allowed to kasher inside a keli she'eno ben yomo, no? I'm going to kasher this cup. I put it inside a big pot. That big pot itself is a keli she'eno ben yomo. So how come, right, I kasher inside a keli she'eno ben yomo, when the keli she'eno ben yomo itself requires hechsher? So Rav Shechter understood that the idea is that there's an iser hishtamshus with a treif kli. I can't use treif kelim. Chazal felt that even though it's not going to possibly aser, but there's an iser hishtamshus in a treif kli. That's the gezeirah of keli she'eno ben yomo. What's considered hishtamshus for kli? The keli that I eat from, I'm being mishtamish. The keli that I just used to kasher other kelim, I'm not being mishtamish in that keli. Kevan shehigam olakach. Perhaps you could say, based on the yisod that we learned in elementary school chemistry, there's a fundamental chiluk between a liquid and a solid, which is that a liquid takes on the shape of the container that it's in, right? You're a chemistry teacher. A solid doesn't. That's a fundamental difference between liquids and solids. If that's the case, there's a difference between liquids and solids. So maybe we could say that this is precisely the point, that there's an iser if a keli becomes a treif keli. How does it become a treif keli? I'm not exactly sure why, But maybe it only has the shame of a treif keli if it's boleya ayilei chayin. Maybe. But once it's a treif keli, I can't use it for a davar lach. And once it's a treif keli, I can't use it with a liquid because that's hishtamshus bekli. And hishtamshus bekli is aser. Now, for the Ramah, for some reason, if it became a treif keli, I can't even use it with a davar yavish. That I might understand, because the davar yavish, I'm gozer, maybe it's going to be cham. And then the isra will come out, which is like our kasha that we ask on the Taz. But basically, what I'm trying to suggest, and I haven't fully worked this through, I'm trying to suggest is that there's an isef hishtamshus bekli when I use a davar lach in the keli. A davar yavish, maybe it's not considered hishtamshus bekli to the same extent. These are some of the points that we wanted to make. This last nakuda we have to flesh out more. But, okay, Chevra, thank you for listening. It's good to be back learning Torah together. I'd like to try to do Sif Dalet tomorrow. Did any of you guys finish Sif Beis yet in Gimel? One. Okay, we'll try to do Sif Dalet tomorrow. To the best of our ability. Okay. Shkayach.